the trumpet, but did not take the warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So there's a couple warnings here given out. You got a warning kind of to the watchman, and you'll have one for the people. Let's first look at the one for the people. It's back in our text. And so the warning for the people. He says, I'm going to bring the sword upon the land when I do that. And so what is happening here, you see God giving an opportunity for warnings to be given. You don't see God just rush in and then, boom, drop the hammer down, right? You see warnings being given, right? You see that God is compassionate and that there is mercy, and it's his first position is not just running in and then just slamming it down, right? And we have parents, we kind of know that, or you knew that. Your mom look at you and say, there's your warning, right? Or maybe she'd come up and give you a little pinch behind the elbow or right in that little fatty part under your arm. And so, right, and then maybe get a little bit harder. And then, you know, when the hammer drops, you know, then dad comes in, you know, and then nobody wins. It's terrible after that. So, but you get the picture here. God's the same way. He gives warnings. And he says, so when I bring the sword. And notice he's the one that's doing it. He says, when I bring the sword. God's saying, when I do this. And so the sword is the judgment of sin. This is not a trial that they're falling in for them to, for their faith to be strengthened up. Nope, they've fallen into sin. And you can bet when that happens, you're going to get some warnings, right? We know that God is holy. He is just. In fact, there's a word here in Nahum. I'm just going to read this verse, Nahum 1:3. It says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. So what you see with God is when it comes to sin, he doesn't just kick it underneath the rug. Hey, just hide that. No, he is just. And the greatest picture of that, of his holiness and justice, is the cross. Right? I mean, that tells you how he feels about sin. He's not going to just let it slide. No, he will judge his one and only son for that. And so we see that his holiness, his justice, but we also see he has mercy. So give him the warning. Tell them the warning. He gives that opportunity. I think of a time God gave me a few opportunities. I got saved later in life, and so I can look back in my BC days. There are warnings all over the place. And one of those, I remember I was driving home late, driving home on a two-lane road, and it was winding real late at night. Won't tell you where I was coming back from, but it was late. And so driving, coming up, and what I see in front of me, it's me and my brother, we're in the truck, and what I see in front of me are headlights on the other lane. I thought, that looks normal, nothing out of the ordinary, so I'm going to keep on going. But what I didn't realize was the trailer of that 18-wheeler was hanging over on my lane. But because cars have already hit it, one car in front of me had already hit it, knocked the entire lights out of the trailer. And so being at night, all it looks like is there's a car in that lane, I'm doing fine in this lane, nothing's wrong, and before I ever even know it, didn't have a chance to hit the brakes. Went right up underneath the trailer, crushed the whole side in, it kind of spit the truck out in the ditch. I walk away with just basic cuts from the glass, but ultimately just walked away from that just fine. And I look and I'm thinking, man, that's a pretty clear warning when I look back on that. But you know, sometimes even that doesn't get your attention. Even that, right? We know if we've been stiff-necked before, you know it takes a lot more than an 18-wheeler to get our attention sometimes. But unfortunately, that's the way it's been. Let me just ask you a question. Has God been trying to get your attention in your life? Pay attention to those warnings, because I found God, he's very merciful, but at some point that ends, right? Yeah, and so, I mean, there comes a time where they kind of get turned up. But we see that if the warning is not heeded, judgment will come. Look in verse 4. It says this, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. You're held responsible for not responding to the warning signs. Not your neighbor, not your mama, not your daddy, not your cousin. You're held responsible. But, you know, here in America, what do we like to do? Ain't my fault. But no, the warning came to us. It came to you, right? So you're held responsible. It's going to be held upon your own head. But people today want to play the blame game instead of taking that responsibility. I'll just tell you, who do you think they blame the most? Who do they blame the most? Number one, they'll blame God. They'll blame his representatives. They'll go after, well, that's the preacher's fault. That's God's fault that this is happening to me. Why is this happening to me? That's your fault, God. In fact, I think you'll find in God's grace and mercy, it's him that he even gives the warnings to begin with. Is it not? I mean, that he brings you to repentance. I mean, that's his grace and mercy to even send that to you. He didn't have to send the warning. But yet when he does, we say, why are you doing this to me? It's your fault. Or it's that pastor's fault. Or it's the church's fault. Or the circumstances. But the judgment is righteous. And the judgment in its final form is death. Right? In fact, if you can be a lost person and you get these warnings coming into your life, at some point, it's going to end. And when that hammer falls, death in its final form is eternal death in a place called hell. And it doesn't matter how much you cry out for mercy then, you've had your chance. You had your opportunity to give your heart and life to Jesus. You can't go around him. You cannot go around Jesus. Think of a alarm clock. Not only was I stiff-necked when I was younger, but also didn't like really getting up. So we got the alarm clocks, right? I think just on the radio I heard a little game show they were playing. If you snooze, you lose. And the idea of trying to win money before the alarm clock sounds or whatnot. But you know how the alarm clock works. You set your alarm in the morning. Why? To get up, right? I mean, that's why you set your alarm, so that you can wake up. But, you know, what do? You set a bunch of them ahead of time, right? And then, so I got to give myself 20 minutes to hit the snooze button. And then I'll get up. But you know, we do that with God's warnings. Truck comes into life. Snooze. Marriage falls apart. I'm just hit that snooze button. I'll do that later, Lord. I know you're trying to speak to me. Lost my job. Snooze button. You got relationships falling all around you. Snooze button. But you know what happens if you hit the snooze button too many times on your alarm clock? What happens? It stops. It stops. Don't get to that point, because God will do the same thing. Those warnings, they come and they come and they come. But you hit that snooze button too many times, and what's going to happen? It's going to stop. It's going to stop. You don't want to find yourself in that position. Why in the world would somebody fully convinced that God is warning them, as we can see? These people can hear the trumpet being blasted. They know what's coming. They know there's an enemy coming or there's a sword God's bringing. Why would they not turn? I think the same reason why people don't turn today. They don't want to give up their sin, right? They think the cost of giving up their sin is greater than the cost of hanging on to it, right? As the preachers have mentioned before, we got an enemy, a deceiver, that tells us, no, don't give that up, you're fine. Don't worry, that sword ain't coming. You can get away with it. You'll be just fine. Just keep hanging on to it. But no, the sword is coming. And the best thing you and I can do is to give that up. Let me look at the warning for the watchman. I'm actually going to look at his in verse 7. Verse 7 says this, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." What's the first responsibility for the watchman? It's in verse 7. Therefore, you shall what? Hear. You can't just start crying out, can you? You can't just start going up and talking. But I know as preachers, us as spokesmen, right, we got this burning word in our heart. What's the first thing we want to do? Let me run to the pulpit. But you know, our very first responsibility as God's spokesman is to hear. It's to hear. You go and you get on your face. And Jesus says, what you hear in the quiet, you proclaim on the rooftop. But don't you go to that rooftop if you ain't heard nothing in the quiet. So we need a first thing to hear. But then it says, you need to warn. You need to speak out. And I know our other brother just before me went talking about, will the real preacher stand up? You know, and that's a great word because you got people showing up to the watchtower every Sunday morning, but where's the trumpet? It ain't there. Trumpet's laying at the side. No, blow it. Speak out. But no, I don't want to hear about sin. I want to, you know, kind of grow the church without hurting people's feelings. It's going to hurt the feelings if I stand on the watchtower and blow them until the sword's coming. But if you love them, you'll do it. If you love people, you will sound the trumpet. You got to speak out. Back to my story with the truck driver. So when I hit him, there was another car ahead of me. That truck driver, and I know this, I've been a truck driver, what they have in their possession is a safety kit. In that safety kit are warning placards. And there are flares, and they have to actually get out of their truck when something like that happens and set out warnings. And you got to go out 100 feet, and you set these triangle warning signs out. So when you got someone like me coming, right, just blowing through, can't really, don't know what's going on, and then I come up and plow up underneath and knock his back axle out. So when the insurance company looked at all this, they said, yes, you received damage, but we're going to hold him responsible. It was his fault because he didn't lay out the warning signs. You see what's going to happen one day? There might be people, they're going to blow through stuff and end up destroying themselves. But who is he going to hold responsible? The watchman. The watchman. You have warning signs in your possession. You got placards you should be sharing. You see the what's happening in the nation or what's going around in your communities, and yet here we are and not speaking into it. We're at the watchtower, but where's our trumpet? Are we blasting it? Let me also tell you, some men in the room, guess what? You're the watchman for your family. You blow the trumpet for your family. You stand in the gap for your family, for your wife, for your kids. You don't want your kids just running, blowing through something, but yet you got the trumpet. And where is it at? Down here by your side. Now go on and run out and hang with that crowd. Oh, yeah, go ahead and talk to that dude or whatever at work. And yeah, no, don't worry about it. You got the trumpet in the possession, but it's in the wrong spot. It should be in our mouth. There's a bridge in Louisiana, long bridge. And a guy was driving down. If you're from that area, you're probably familiar with what it is, but driving down that bridge and going across it for miles, and all of a sudden he gets to a point, and there's a guy standing in the middle of the road, and man, and he just kind of stops, and you know, he's like, "What's that guy doing?" And he starts trying to go around him, and the guy's like, you know, he kind of hits his hood, and he's like, "No, stop!" And the guy tries to go this way, and he's like, "Man, what's this guy doing?" The guy bangs on his hood again. He says, "No, stop!" The guy rolls out. He goes, "What's your problem?" And he goes, "The bridge is out. If you were to keep going, you're going to get destroyed. The bridge is out. I'm trying to tell you so you could stop." How many people in our lives that you know, that I know, who are going down the roads and the bridge is out, there's destruction ahead of them, and yet we're saying, keep on going. Put a Band-Aid on it. Live long and prosper. Some of you weirdos know what that meant. Go ahead. No, but where are we getting in the way? Are we willing to slam on somebody's hood if it takes to? It's like, stop. Don't go that way. There is a different way. If they're going to keep going, may they go through our warnings. May they go with the sound of the trumpet from our voice, which better be from God's word, which we heard in the private place. As my mommy and daddy said, you've been warned. Don't blow through them. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these men here who have committed their lives to preaching your word, who have committed their time to go to school to prepare so that we could be expositors of your word, so that we not proclaim man's opinion on what someone thinks about your word, but that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And God, I pray that you would raise up watchmen who would go to the tower with the trumpet in their mouth. May we not just complain about the stuff that happens around us, but as Pastor Will said, but know that we would speak into it, that we would preach the word faithfully every Sunday morning, that we would proclaim your truth. And God, that we might warn as many as possible. And ultimately, God, we pray you would turn as many as possible so that we don't go to heaven one day wishing we'd have blown the trumpet, but we'd go to heaven with those who had turned with us. For the glory and praise and honor of Jesus Christ, I pray these things. And all God's people said, amen.